shit going on down there in the street. What's all that shit floating out in the water? We gotta get out of here. We gotta go to some island. Grab your shopping cart. Grab the cane. Let's get the heck out of here. We gotta move closer to the equator. When are they gonna start showing those Mr. T reruns? I used to love that guy. Remember, honey, you used to watch Mr. T wrestling? Your Coca-Cola doesn't taste the same as it used to. Remember when a bowl of soup was a nickel? All that bass is gonna break my ears.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, May 31st, 2005. We've made it through another month, buddy. All we gotta do is keep on trucking and we can make it to, well, wherever we're going, which God only knows where that is. But what is important is being adaptive, because this is Newsreel. Your daily report is the walk counterculture defeats the evil of corpolitical tyranny. And please note that this program is void where prohibited, God shown. It's not actual size and may contain some nuts. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Once there, you'll be able to see whatever, you know, ramblings I've spit into existence that day. And then from there, you'll be able to plan out, you know, what you want to do in relation to the rest of the WOG movement. You know, because obviously we're all together, one giant sort of Jonestown sort of group. You know, none of us have any free independent will, because everyone just kind of does what everybody else does, right? Isn't that how movements work? Isn't that what it is? No, absolutely not. That is not the way the WOG movement works. The WOG movement is a movement built out of individuals, and all the individuals process information as quickly and as efficiently as they can in order to make their own decisions to direct their own lives. And this is a part of that, because this is a free radio, a broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can burn it to disc. You can give it away. You can broadcast it on FM transmitter. And I still haven't got a pirate radio station set up here at my house. So I'm thinking that it would be handy to do something like that. You know, it'd be handy to actually set up a pirate broadcast radio station for real. Only problem is that, well, when you're actually doing the pirate broadcasting through FM, well, you know, I think they'd probably shut me down a lot quicker. There's no reason to cause more people to be involved in shutting me down. I'm sure we've got quite about enough looking to do that already. All right, cut the crap. Let's get some feedback. Dear Sean, I hadn't heard of this, but I looked into it and started to get a little more than a little pissed. You remember those old terms like yuppies? Well, in Britain, the term for young thugs... And, well, Britain has a term for young thugs and hooligans. I see. The old terms like yuppies. So, you know, yuppies were young up-and-coming professionals. And I guess Britain has a term for young thugs, which is the yobs. Now, I've talked about this before, called the youth of Britain. And they're becoming a problem. Such a problem that became an election issue in the recent British elections. I guess the young people in Britain are so fucking angry that they're just ripping apart the society. He gives a reference to a blog, and he says that I have a story of a teacher that was harassed to such an extent, she started firing a pellet gun at the youths, not knowing if they were the ones tormenting her family. So she just grabbed a gun and started shooting and not verifying her target. Well, it sounds like the teacher's problem. The politicians, the local and federal, promised to crack down on yobs, thinking that they're cracking down on all youths. That's not so good when everybody cracks down on kids, because kids aren't actually the problem. If you start looking and then... If you do a search on the web and do a search for yobs, you won't believe what you see. Worse yet, like me, you believe and shake your head, wonder why these young people are doing this to themselves. As well, there was a term coined in the early 90s by people who moved into an acreage, gentleman farms, and small towns, but tried to take all the tech and convenience with them. They were called agro-punks. Many of them were first teleworkers and helped make many small towns get services that they would still be waiting for otherwise. And that's from Wolven Spectre. Am I screwing that up? Yeah, Wolven Spectre sent me that. And so thank you very much. And moving along to the next one. Hi, mate. Just thought I'd fill you in on what's been happening here in the UK with all them UFO head-fucked bastards, a.k.a. Scientologists. They've been getting stalls in local markets and offering to give free stress tests to the public. And this has been happening all along the south coast of England. I just happened to bump into one at the market down in Dorchester. And so as it was my birthday, my beloved nymph let me play. First, I paraded up and down in front of the stall holding a piece of card saying, I'm a WOG, and proclaiming loudly, come see a UFO cult. So you got to bear in mind, we got a guy walking up and down in front of a Scientology booth, screaming, I'm a WOG, and come see a UFO cult. Get your free UFO cult membership here. I am an agent of Xenu. While the guys who were there looked somewhat unhappy. No kidding. Being as I'm not exactly small, undernourished vegan, sorry, Sim, I'm just a vegetarian, and my mate, who was with me, is a tall and slightly wider, they decided on intervening would not be a sensible option. They were brave enough to remove the large cardboard sign we put by the book stating we are a UFO cult. While I got photos of me parading by the stall, a small white sign didn't come out so well, so I took a second of picture of the sign. When I left, I yelled, see you guys next week. Unfortunately, I won't get to play a second week, as I'm now back in Wales. Funny thing that I never seemed to run into them at the Wales. Oh well, just to have a bit of fun in England. All the best, Druid Y. Simmeroo. Now, Druid was the guy who actually sent me a Canadian flag off of the Welsh castle, which is kind of mind-numbing to me. I mean, I've got this monstrous flag, and I guess the flags are bigger in Wales because this is like the biggest Canadian flag I've ever seen. Well, not the biggest, but it's pretty damn big. I'm going to be using it as a curtain in my study, which is just insane. So I did want to say a special thanks to Druid Y. Simmeroo as well. Give you a sound scolding, Druid. What are you doing? Now, you know that these guys are dangerous, okay? You know Scientologists are dangerous, and I discourage WOGs from attacking Scientologists. You must not do this. We do not attack people. We attack ideas. Okay, so it's important that, you know, he didn't actually attack anybody, and I'm not calling him down because of what he did, but it was very dangerous. You got to bear in mind that Scientologists are insane, okay? They're totally, you know, they've got it in their religion that there is a fair use clause. If you declare that you don't agree with them, it's in their faith that they can kill you, okay? It's kind of like going up to erratic Islamist guys and saying, hey, we think, Allah sucks donkey balls, okay? These people will kill you for that. They'll put a fatwa on you, and that'll be the end of it. So, you know, bear in mind that I think that's very funny, Druid. I really do. But you must be careful with these people because, you know, you got to think long term here. You got to make sure that you win the battles, but you want to win the war ultimately. So, you know, I'm not encouraging anyone to go out and do that. But apparently, Druid was running around and fucking with the UFO cult in England. Moving on here, got lots of feedback. Hey, holy cow, I'm trying to keep the momentum up just to get through this feedback before we can get to the news. Okay, here we go. Dear Sean, ransomware already has a name. It's called Cryptovirus. There was a book written about cryptoviruses about a year ago. Ah, you see now, that's because people who write the news don't actually read at all. So, you know, this is why I have WOGs to check some of my info. The book is called Malicious Cryptography, Exposing Cryptovirology. So let me try that again. Malicious Cryptography, Exposing Cryptovirology by Adam Young and Moti Young. Now, Adam Young is Young, and Moti Young is Motiyung. It's a very good book with lots of technical details. After reading it, it'd be quite easy to write one of these viruses. It has lots of good examples of code, such as encryption-decryption algorithm that can be implemented in about 15 or 20 lines of C code. It also covers ways to encrypt the actual virus so the victim cannot work out the decrypt algorithm and ways of generating good random numbers for strong keys, etc. Might be worth getting some of the WOGs to read it. This attack is only really effective against large corporations because you can't extract ransom from 10 million from people who viruses would usually spread. In order to be effective, you would have to have one customized virus for one target, and a large corporation is only a target worth hitting. Most individuals with computers don't actually keep anything important on them. WOGs keep backups, so large corporations would be the target because even losing a day's worth of data would cost them a lot of money to them. And that's from someone whose name I'm not going to read because none of us here are actually into writing viruses because that would be illegal, bad, and somewhat malicious. However, to make sure that we as WOGs can protect our employers from malicious code, you like that spin? Malicious Cryptography, Exposing Cryptovirology by Adam Young and Modi Young. So check that book out. Books are good. Hard currency is going to be hard to come by very, very soon. Now, you ready for this one? I got this newsreel email here that is just blowing my mind. Okay, you ready for this? Here we go. Hi, Sean. Great job on Newsreel. I was watching C-SPAN today and they had a representative from Amnesty International on. They put a caller on who mentioned your name in the same sentence with Rush Limbaugh and O'Reilly. I almost fell out of my chair. The caller rambled on about something about the interviewer using big words and was eventually hung up on. I really don't understand how someone could who listened to you would also be a fan of Rush Limbaugh. Keep up the great work tenfold. Mwahaha! Yes, it's true. That's excellent that the WOGs are finally getting some press. It's good to see that we are making a difference in the world, because it's going to be through people like that who, you know, from the grassroots level, begin to let other people know that no matter what, you know, somebody may have heard of O'Reilly, somebody may have heard of Limbaugh, and now they've heard of, this show as well, which is good, right? I don't think of myself as a leader by any stretch. I'm really into the whole idea of being a standard bearer. We are all equal here. We all have our strengths and weaknesses, but there is no rank. There is no structure. There's no leader and follower class. That's not how it works. It all works because we are a cohesive unit. That's the plan. I did get an opinion request today, so check this one out here. Dear Sean, I've noticed recently that generals from the American Army are getting more press time than usual. Is it possible to assume that just maybe something good is happening? If generals and other high-ranking officers in the American Army start speaking out against the war, this could mean a coup. The American Army has more than enough men to pull and take the government. The question I have to ask you is a world where the military rules a good thing? And that's from Listful. Okay, there's a bunch of things in this little email here. Okay, first of all, there's no chance of a military coup in the United States. Not a fucking prayer. It's not going to happen, all right? But as for them getting a lot of press time lately, that's because the world is essentially in a massive state of war. And because of our ability to process information, everybody now knows the world's in a massive state of war. So, you know, it's nothing really surprising there. Now, as for the is a world where the military rules a good thing? The answer is no, because if you look at history, it seems that honestly, except for America, just about everything else has been founded on military force and dictators and things like that. America's kind of unique as it's a country founded upon ideals. And this is what makes America beautiful and great and wonderful and all that good stuff. America wasn't always as corrupt as it is right now. It wasn't always, you know, in the hands of the core political. America used to belong to the people. And it's up to us to give it back to the people once again. Funny thing happened to me just the other day. You know, I was down in my local big box bookstore there trying to find something that didn't suck. And ordered a book, incidentally, I should mention, called The Book of Tells. You might want to look at that. I'm sure someone will post a link to it in my live journal. But it's an interesting book that talks about how to analyze people's body language to see whether or not they're lying, telling the truth, stuff like that. It's written by some dude who used to do, like, hardcore interrogation. That's the kind of information that I really advise WOGs get, because you know what? That kind of stuff makes you stronger. What you say is only 30% of what you're actually trying to communicate. However, when I was in the store, you walk inside, there's these little, you know, pocket, easy pablum sort of reader, pitch or poo pieces that are like the 70s, you know, and it's a 4-inch by 6-inch book that's mostly color photographs that say, you know, have all the best photos of the 70s. There's one for the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, okay? So I start picking them up, and I grab them, and, you know, kind of like cartoon flipbook style, I start sort of thumbing through it, just kind of flicking through, seeing what pictures are there. You know, I kind of thought I'd get a little retro, look at some Billy Idol stuff. You know, it'd be fun. Well, I'm flipping through it, and, like, in the 70s, you've got war. In the 80s, you've got war. In the 90s, you have war. And you know what? There's going to be even more war coming, all right? The world is pretty much, if you want to go further back, the 40s was full of war. There was a hell of a lot of war in the 30s. War is everywhere. It's like you don't have to wait for Warhammer 40K, baby. You just got to wait for Wednesday. It's crazy how much war there is in the world. So the question is, why is there so much war? Well, there's so much war because there's so many people, and there's such a combat over resources. Wars are fought over resources. Wars are fought over oil. Wars are fought over land. Wars are fought over food. This is what wars are fought over. And it's unfortunate and shitty, and the only way we're going to be able to get past that is to stop our dependence on natural resources. Is this possible? Some scientists say it is. But to answer your question, dude, no. The world run by the army is not a good thing because, well, all you got to do is look at history. Shit. What's the most successful government the world has ever seen? Well, some people could say it was the Nazis, because if you look at it from a statistical advantage point where, you know, they gain and all this sort of stuff, for the least amount of time, most amount of game. I think the Nazis had it. But I don't want to be a Nazi, thank you very much. I don't think I want to live in that sort of a society. I don't think I want to be a fascist. But, you know, if you want to look at what a military-run society is, I would believe that's pretty much fascism. Now, everyone knows they're going to call me on this, and they think that Robert Heinlein, you know, well, Sean, you like Robert Heinlein, blah, 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 blah. Yes, but Robert Heinlein is an engineer and a science fiction author. So I think he has a lot of good ideas, but I'm not a politician. I also have never had to run a government. Tried to run a business for a while there. Couldn't do that. It would just save my life. So, you know, what do I actually know about running anything? Don't really know. But what I do know is we can't be setting up camps and we shouldn't be killing our kids in desert wars for resources that we shouldn't have to chase simply because we're repressing technology that prevents us from being dependent upon oil. So, you know, just my personal viewpoint there. But hey, what do I know? Anyway. Oh, and on that note, where the guy compared me with Rush Limbaugh, or mentioned me in the same sentence as Rush Limbaugh and O'Reilly. And you know what the funny thing is? I have no fucking idea who O'Reilly is. I know there's a guy named O'Reilly, but being as I don't watch television because it rots your fucking brain, I'd rather, you know, I don't know who he is. And I've never actually listened to Rush either. I've heard a couple of, you know, funny sort of songs that he's done. But the guy sort of reminds me of this, like, it's really easy to figure out what Rush Limbaugh would say because all you have to do is look at the most radical right-wing extremist statement designed to piss people off, and that's what Rush Limbaugh will say. The guy's totally boring. You know, it's like anything that you can say that'll piss people off, you say. Now, granted, you know, I'm an entertainer first and foremost. This show is for comedy and entertainment purposes only. However, I also happen to tell you the truth as the way I see it, but largely, you know, I hide it in comedy, which is realistically the comedians are the only people left who can really say what the hell they're thinking anymore. But anyhow, the truth is that I don't understand how I would be compared with Rush Limbaugh, or pardon me, the writer didn't understand how I could be compared with that, and I can, because you know what? People on the left call me right. People on the right call me left. I call me a wog. Don't allow yourself to get pinned into a category, and that's why I always say, well, did you just say you call yourself a wog? Yes, but a wog is an undefined category. This is why we must keep it fluid. We must keep it always shifting, massively adaptive. That's the idea. Be adaptive. You know, either evolve or die. Those are your choices. Into the news, in internet tax news. Now, we got this right now in Canada, but it seems that Sweden has kicked in. Sweden's parliament on Wednesday passed a law to make it illegal to download copyrighted material from the internet and approve measures to discourage people from burning copies of CDs and DVDs. Now, the law, which takes effect July 1, also outlawed technology and software used to circumvent copy protections on copyrighted material, including music, movies, and games. Ah. Sweden has been plagued by one of the highest rates of internet piracy in the world, according to industry officials, which, you know, no one can trust them. Until now, it was only prohibited to make copyrighted material available for others to download. Downloading it was legal. The new law also makes it illegal to copy an entire book in a copying machine, including textbooks in schools. It does not forbid making a copy of CD or DVD for personal use, but slaps a tax on recordable CD and DVD discs. Consumers will now have to pay an extra tax of 24 cents for a 700 megabyte disc. Now, that's what we're doing right now in Canada. There's a big fear on that back in the day. This was back, everyone remember when they were going to say, they're going to make DVDs and burnables illegal, and everybody went and bought 700, you know, burnable medias, and we all stockpiled, you know, we had media coming out of our ass, just because we were all afraid they're going to make it illegal, and all that happens was they added 12 cents to it. But on the upside, when none of us had to buy any discs for a while, yeah, that's the same thing they just did in Sweden. But I didn't know piracy was legal in Sweden just until recently. Like, hot damn, what a nice place to go. Amsterdam, you know, stop there, then skip up to Sweden or down to Sweden or whatever. Jesus, how can you tell my geography's off? Yes, I know Amsterdam's in Holland, it's not in Sweden. But, you know, they're all kind of, they all got, you know, flowers and shoes, and they're European. What the hell, who cares? All right, anyway, moving right along here. God, what a way to cover up your ignorance. That's one thing that I wish, you know, sometimes that I was born in Europe. Which sounds funny because, you know, of course I've got a lot of freedom here, blah, 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 blah. But realistically, do you know that people in Europe speak like four fucking languages? Like, everybody speaks like three or four languages. It's not a big deal, you know. So you meet another dude from Europe and they'll start, you know, jibber-jabbering at each other until somebody finds a language that the other dude knows. So you'll have, like, a guy from, I don't know, Denmark and another guy from, I don't know, Spain. And neither one of them speak the other one's language, but both speak German, so they start the dialogue going like that. That's brilliant! And there's been a lot of studies done that if you learn a second language, for some reason it seems to stop the onset of Alzheimer's because it enables your brain to work in a different way. The human mind, I think, is the ultimate computer. If you can learn to hack anything, if you want to learn what to hack, hack your head, man. That's the way to go. That's what I think. But, yeah, it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing that my geography just isn't what it should be. That's good and bad, you know. Sometimes I think that I should learn more about geography. But then again, you know, every 6 months it seems like the borders change in the world anyway. But without that, I also think that not having a strong sense of geography, I don't look at people as, you know, Swedish or German or whatever. I just think of them as European. And they probably, I'd like to be thought of as North American. And then maybe we can think of ourselves as global, like Earthlings or something. So we get past all these divisive concepts like, you know, us and them and, you know, we're not from the same country. Let's dissolve all these boundaries. You know, let's just get everybody on the same goddamn page. And one of the best things to do would be to try to master communication, which, of course, is done through what? The Internet. The secret to world peace. Moving right along into enforcement news. Ordered by a court to search harder, the FBI has found more than 340 internal documents that it once said couldn't be found under an open records request. But the Bureau still wants to avoid the delay in releasing them. So let me get this straight. The FBI was ordered to do a search. They said, no, can't find them. Then somebody stuck a gun in their mouth, and they said, oh, we had them. Sorry, we found them now. The FBI and Justice Department told the U.S. District Judge Dale A. Kimball in Salt Lake City that the Bureau doesn't have enough time and manpower to comply with his search order, in part because five other judges have also ordered the Bureau to do a better job of searching its records in response to other Freedom of Information Act requests. The FBI is so afraid they will set a precedent for openness to add their workload that they play tremendous games with their requesters, said Rebecca Daugherty, director of FOI Service Center at the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, an advocate of greater disclosure. The case involves a search for records with possible link between the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing and a gang of white supremacist bank robbers. The documents were requested by Salt Lake City attorney Jesse Trentadue, seeking evidence for his theory that his brother Kenneth was murdered in a federal prison isolation cell in Oklahoma City, August 1995. Local and federal investigators ruled Kenneth Trudeau's death a suicide, although his severely battered body raised questions among some officials. Now, I didn't know anything about this. I didn't even know a white supremacist group was robbing banks in Oklahoma, which is not that unbelievable, really, being a Canadian. You know, I don't really keep track of crap like that. But the thing that, you know, draws my attention here is the intention of the FBI. Now, you know, I, of course, everyone likes to think that I have this, you know, hard-on for law enforcement. And I do. I enjoy law enforcement people. I think they're generally good people. They're just misguided. You know, this is why the WOGs must never, ever, 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 ever fight with cops. Because the minute you do that, you will be labeled, honestly, a terrorist. Now, it's one thing for a cop who's on the street. Because cops on the street, you ever notice this? Like, for example, back in the day when people first were smoking weed and there was all the weed propaganda, cops were terrified of people smoking weed because they were watching these movies that were telling them to kill weed smokers because they were attacking people and blah, 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 blah. But after being on the street for a while, cops realized that people who smoked weed and were high and were wandering around were actually really docile. So eventually, because they got to be switched on and be aggressive most of the time, they started to lighten up on the weed smokers because they know they weren't a problem. The same thing goes for people who work security. The same thing goes everywhere. You can tell right away how to deal with a person because you've got the experience. Now, in experience, if you keep acting like a protester where you're getting up in the cop's face, blah, 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 you know, and you got a big WOG t-shirt on, eventually the cops are going to equate WOG with violence. That's not what you want. What you want is if you're doing something, blah, 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 and the cop walks up to you, you say, you know what? I acknowledge that you're enforcement here. I don't agree with your policies, but I realize that you're just the soldier, and we are not enemies. And eventually, we will be on the same team. You got to look at this thing smart, man. You got to win the hearts and minds of law enforcement. But when you see something like this, where the FBI is obviously, like, just blatantly hiding information. They were told to search harder, and they found them. Give me a fucking break. And what if that option was on my computer here? Search harder. Give me a break, man. You're either going to search or you're not going to search. And now they're playing little games? That's bullshit. That's like high-level corruption right there. You know, it's about intention. That's what I'm talking about. It's all about the intention. And I just, it's disgusting to see that level of manipulation at that high in the government. Like, where's your professionalism, you know? Sick. In environmental news, speaking of sick, Jesus. Through the end of the month, fishmongers and restaurants across Japan are stocking up on one of the most pricey delicacies, hunks of fresh deep red whale meat. brought in by a fleet of Japanese research whalers now operating off this country's northern coast. For nearly two decades, an international ban on commercial hunts has kept the yearly haul relatively small, only 1,000 or so tons. But if Japan's government has its way, when the International Whaling Commission opens its annual conference on Friday, there could be a whole lot more coming in the years ahead. This could be a turning point, Joji Morita, a senior member of Japan's delegation, told the Associated Press last week. Morishita said that after years of being in the minority, the voting power between pro- and anti-whaling blocs has roughly evened out, with only the difference of one or two votes. There is much more of an atmosphere for dialogue, he said. Before, the anti-whaling camp was so strong they felt they didn't need to talk. Now, they do. Now, the thing is, I'm looking at this going, okay, now I understand the concepts of survival of the fittest. I understand that. Okay? I understand that, you know, it's pretty much necessary in some cases for people, and it's arguable. You know, some people say, oh, I don't want to eat meat, I want to eat meat, whatever. You know, people need to eat food. I understand that. However, there's no fucking reason to eat a whale. Like, give me a break here. What is that, part of your natural diet? How many whales have you seen eating, you know, caveman eating whales? Didn't happen, dude. Yeah, okay, we took out a mammoth here and there, but nobody's eating whales. Why in the fuck are these people eating whales? You know? Seriously, I've got no problem with Japanese people. What the fuck is going on with you guys, man? What, you know, how can you see a whale and think, tasty? You know, it's not like a fish. I like sushi, don't get me wrong. But what the fuck is going on with eating whales? Can't you find, like, a chicken or something? I don't know. It just, I can't grasp this. Like, you wonder what people think, you know, and it really does show the divide between cultures. I don't understand this, but apparently they're talking about doing more whaling. Go figure. In side effect news, now here's some sick shit. This is something you're not going to find on any news reports. You know how much everybody's been pumping, you know, Viagra? Viagra's everywhere. Good morning, you know, and they're making all these subtle allusions to sexuality and all the rest of it here. Wow. Looks at this. In side effect news, federal health investigators are looking to reports that some men who use Viagra may have suffered a new and very serious side effect. Blindness. Jesus, could you imagine going blind after taking Viagra? 23 million men worldwide have used Viagra. A very small number of them are going blind after taking normal doses. And CBS News has learned from the FDA CBS News has learned that from the FDA that it is urgently meeting about it with experts from Pfizer. Okay, so it seems that Pfizer has put yet another drug on the market that is permanently maiming people. Jimmy Grant started using Viagra in 1998 when he was 57. At first, he felt pressure in his temples and saw color changes in his visions. I noticed the symptoms probably within 45 minutes to an hour, he told CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson. Soon, he went blind in his right eye. Doctors didn't make the connection to Viagra. After you lost your vision, did you continue taking the dose? Atkinson asked. On occasion, I did, he said. And then in March 2000, after taking Viagra, I experienced partial loss of sight in my left eye. With both eyes damaged, a friend found an article on the internet about Viagra and blindness, and Grant put two and two together. What convinced me that Viagra did it was what Dr. Pomeranz had said in his report. That's Dr. Howard Pomeranz, an eye specialist who appeared to be the first doctor to make a connection in one of his patients back in 98. To him, it made sense that Viagra, which alters blood flow in key parts of the body, could also affect circulation to the optic nerve. Now, in the land of maiming, in the land of side effects, I think that going blind is really high on my list of shit I don't want to have happen. You know? I mean, I know that there's some blind people who listen to After Now and shit like that. And to be honest with you, you know, I think sometimes about, you know, everybody does that. They think, well, what if I was in a wheelchair? What if I was a quadriplegic, paraplegic, whatever. Everybody does that. They go, well, what if I was maimed? The one thing I wouldn't want to be maimed by is, like, I could stand maybe going deaf. Going deaf, you know, would suck a lot. No two ways about it. But, you know, hey, at least you get some peace of quiet and, you know, you'd lose out on the music. But you could still see stuff. Going blind? Dude, that would suck ass. You know, really. And what do you suppose that right now Pfizer has already got a plan in place for all the thousands of people that are going to be suing them about Viagra causing blindness? You know, this is why you don't take drugs. You know, say no to drugs, really. Oh, it's safe. They say it's safe now. They say it's safe now, but I keep seeing the same thing time and time again. Time and time again. Oh, it's safe, it's safe. Oh, no, there were side effects we didn't see. Damn. You know, people are like, what? You don't like NutraSweet, Sean, but what about Splenda? What about this? What about that? Fuck that guy. Go with sugar. It's sugar. If you don't want to eat sugar, don't eat the food. Stop taking drugs, and especially stop taking the drugs made by core politicals. Suffering is profitable to these people. In global surveillance news, now this is just, you know, wow. United States and wants the UK Gattaca state. Sorry, let me start that again. The United States wants Britain's proposed identity cards to have the same microchips and technology as the ones used in American documents. Aha. Uh-huh. So the United States and Britain, they're just thick as thieves, you know? So this is why whenever I report on the UK Gattaca state, you can see how the United States is running off of Britain's lead. You know, didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, United States, but didn't you guys actually kill a whole bunch of Britons not too long ago trying to declare independence? And now you're all trying to, like, re-ally yourselves or something through data? You know, being independent isn't just a figurehead thing. That isn't just sort of like a, you know, something that you do to try to, you know, keep people think believing in the flag. Being independent is important for a reason. The United States want Britain's cards to match. The aim of getting the same microchip is to ensure, you ready for this, compatibility in screening terror suspects. Yeah. But it will also mean that information contained in the British cards can be accessed across the Atlantic. Oh, goody, goody. So now you've got a foreign country able to scan all of your citizens' records. So if the United States is able to scan all of British stuff, what do you suppose the chances are the Brits are going to be able to scan all the United States stuff? And the last thing that I'd want is the people who brought you the UK Gattaca state being able to look at my personal data. Just me. Michael Chertoff, the newly appointed U.S. Secretary for Homeland Security, has already had talks with Home Secretary Charles Clark of the Transport Secretary Alistair Darling, great name, to discuss the matter. Mr. Chertoff said yesterday that it was vital to seek compatibility. Holding up the example of the video war 25 years ago when VHS and Betamax were in fierce competition and to win the status of industry standard for video recording systems. And VHS won, even though Betamax was better, and anyone who knows anything about tape would tell you that Betamax was better, and as a matter of fact, quite often in the industry now, whenever they're doing computer graphics and they're doing moving stuff, they still use Betamax to transport data if you were using a sneaker net or whatever. And the only reason why I think VHS managed to get the standard was because it was just, there was more of them. And Beta also wouldn't put porn on their Betamax. That's why Sims Band is called Porn on Beta. I certainly hope we have the same chip. It would be very bad if we invested huge amounts of money in biometric system and they didn't work with each other. Why would that be bad? Exactly. You guys are separate countries. You got a big pond of water between you. Since when? Oh, that'd be terrible. It'd be terrible if we couldn't communicate, share all of our data with an alien fucking country. Hopefully, we're not going to do VHS and Betamax with our chips. Way to dumb this down to a level that everyone will understand, eh? I was one of the ones who bought the Betamax, and now it's in the garbage, you said. You fucking clown. Mr. Chertoff also proposed that British citizens wishing to visit the U.S. should consider entering a trusted traveler scheme. You know, first of all, I'm not entering anything with the title scheme on it, thanks much, but definitely not anything called trusted traveler. Under this, they would forward their details to the U.S. Embassy to be vetted. If successful, they would receive a document allowing fast tracking through the U.S. immigration system. Read, wealthy. Are you wealthy? Do you work for a major corporation? Well, you get your corporate papers. And you don't have to worry about pesky things like, you know, metal detectors or screening or any of that shit, because you're corporate. As we all know, the corporate people aren't like regular people. Corporate people have money. Regular people, well, they're just cattle for us to do experiments on and track and be productive and work like slaves until they die. Or until they go blind from the drugs we give them or, you know, whatever, develop some disease. Because the last thing they want is everyday people, you know, just kind of living their lives free. That's not productive at all. The pilot scheme will start within a few months between the U.S. and the Netherlands, allowing Dutch visitors to use a trusted traveler card to enter the U.S. without being subjected to further questioning or screening. I'd like to know how much information that means the U.S. is getting on Britain and how much, or in the Netherlands, and how much information the Netherlands is able to get about U.S., you know, civilians. That doesn't seem to make sense to me. Also, in global surveillance news, Norman Gray was stopped by police in Wheeling on Tuesday. Officers said he had to take a mask off and not to put it on again. He was wearing a Grinch That Stole Christmas mask. Police say Gray took the mask off and asked why he couldn't wear it. After officers told him that wearing masks in public is illegal, he reportedly put the mask back on and said he didn't believe it. Gray was then arrested and the mask was confiscated. Wearing a mask or hood in public is a misdemeanor under West Virginia law, punishable by a fine of up to $500, up to a year in jail, or both. That's in West Virginia. Prosecutors say masks can hinder efforts by law enforcement to keep hinder efforts by law enforcement officials to identify criminal suspects. Children are allowed to wear masks. There are also exceptions for safety gear, theatrical productions, and Halloween. What about burkas? What about burkas? What if I walk around and decide that I want to wear a burka? Well, that, you know, is that illegal? If I claim I'm, you know, maybe we should put together the WOG religion with just these basic fundamental freedoms of expression and stuff like that in a religious base. And that way we could try to, you know, sort of hold on to some of our rights by, you know, shelving them in religion. I don't know. It seems kind of sick to me that a person can't walk around wearing a hood, you know, in case you're cold or whatever. And for that matter, maybe you just don't want to be seen. What about these celebrities? You ever see these celebrities walking around in Hollywood? You want to talk about obscuring your features? Jesus. Some of these guys walk around like they're ninjas. It's pretty brutal. So, you know, good for Goose, good for Gander. Now, let's talk about some banned tech. Check out, now this link here goes to Boing Boing, but check out the Fusion HD TV USB to TV peripheral. Plug this into your personal computer's USB and receive standard or high-definition DVB television. DVB is the standard used in Europe, Australia, and parts of Asia and Latin America. You use your computer for a PVR, burn your favorite shows to DVD, and so on. Okay, so that means you can just rip it straight off the TV and burn it to DVD. I wonder if the manufacturer knows that DVB has a working group that is aimed at making this product illegal. Okay, so right now, this particular piece of hardware is very quickly going to be entering the banned tech barrier. You know what I'm saying? So you want to make sure that you get in there and get it before it goes past that banned tech barrier. There's a lot of stuff out there right now. Look at the EFF. There's lots of tech that people are going, no, that's illegal. This is illegal. That's illegal. Why do you think VHS is like, you know, one of the great things about getting past VHS tapes and stuff like that is that no more people can't just tape off the TV. You just can't get it anymore. You got to capture it. Right now, in order to capture stuff off the television, as technology progresses, it's going to get harder and harder and harder. So, you know, it might be an idea to get your hands on one of these pieces of gear while they're still legal. Just thought I'd let you know. And I got another story here, a bit of a follow-up about corporatical magic math. You know, this is the Amway math that corporations use to determine how much money they lose in their, piracy cost us, you know, $1 billion, you know. Okay, so check this out. Remember that article I covered about those noble people at Drink or Die who gave us all software when no one else would? Okay. Well, Drink or Die was a group of software collectors who were jailed because they were said to have caused incredible losses to the software industry. What a load of shit. Because obviously, you know, the software industry is crippled. But while the losses due to software copyright violations are large and serious, the crime is certainly not as costly as the BSA portrays, goes on to say. The association's figures rely on sample data that may not be representative assumptions about the average amount of software on PCs and some countries, for some countries, rather than hard data. So they're basing all their losses on assumptions, basically, is what this says here. Moreover, the figures are presented in an exaggerated way by the BSA and International Data Corporation, the IDC, a research firm that conducts the study. This is all in England. It's all British-based, okay? They dubiously presume that each piece of software pirated equals a direct loss of revenue for the software firms, which is wrong. It does not equate that. This is just pure spin. This is propaganda and fabrication. To derive its piracy rate, ready for this? IDC estimates the average amount of software that is installed on a PC per country. So they'll say, how much money did I lose? Well, let's look at an average, whatever the hell that is. I mean, PCs are pretty customized. Using the data from surveys, interviews, and other studies. So they come up with a figure of what they figure is average software on there. That figure is then reduced by the known quality of software sold per country, a calculation which IDC specializes. The result, a supposed amount of piracy per country. Multiplying that figure by the revenue from legitimate sales thus yields the retail value of unpaid-for software. This IDC and BSA claim equals the amount of lost revenue. So that's how they're cooking this up. Now, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out how this particular formula is hugely flawed. Like, unbelievably flawed. But, you know, that's how they're doing it, and that's what we've got to deal with. Now, back to the UK Gattaca estate yet again. Now, they're talking about this. This is not law. But they're actually talking about doing a blade ban in the UK Gattaca estate. Can you believe this? The authors of an editorial in the last issue of the British Medical Journal have called for knife reform. Jesus. The editorial, reducing knife crime. We need to ban the sale of long-pointed kitchen knives. Notes that knives are being used to stab people, as well as roasts and the odd tin of Spam. The authors of the essay, Doctors Emma Hearn, Will Glasbrook, and Mike Beckett of the West Middlesex University Hospital in London, called for laws requiring knife manufacturers to redesign their wares with rounded, blunt tips. I'm not making this up. This is for kitchen knives. The researchers noted that the rate of violent crime in Britain rose nearly 18% from 2003 to 2004, and the first two weeks of 2005, 15 killings and 16 non-fatal attacks involved stabbing. In an unusual move for a scholarly work, the researchers cited a January headline of the Daily Express, a London tabloid, "Britain in the grip of knives terror. Third murder victim now stabbed to death." Dr. Hearn said that we came up with the idea and tossed it into the pot. Getting people talking about crime reduction. No, dude, you're talking about getting people talking about weapon reduction is what you're saying. Not even that. You're getting people talking about utensil reduction. It's a fucking kitchen knife, guy. You know, I don't know what film you watch, but kitchen knives are not really the most efficient weapon in the world. Whether it's a sensible solution to the problem, whether this is a sensible solution to the problem or not, I'm not sure. Well, dude, you've got to think about this. You know, you can't be just walking around claiming that you should be banning knives and getting people to change how they make knives. I mean, shit. Is it such a crime to try to protect yourself? I don't understand why everyone's, you know, every other animal in the world, there's no way you could communicate an idea to an animal to allow itself to just be murdered. You know, I think that every creature, crazy or not, has got a right for self-preservation. You know, protect yourself. The first law of survival in nature, okay? Protect yourself. Jesus, that makes me mad. Anyway, in piracy equals terrorism spin news. Now, we've all been waiting for the day when piracy would be linked, you know, computer piracy would be linked to terrorism. Well, we found it. Mystic found it, actually. And this is what the Senator of Homeland Security and Committee heard Wednesday from John Steadman, a lieutenant in the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, who is responsible for an eight-person team of intellectual property investigators. Of course, you know, he's in charge of that team, so he's going to push his own group as best he can. Some associates of terrorist groups may be involved with IPR crime. Well, that's pretty fucking vague, Steadman said. During the course of our investigations, we have encountered suspects who have shown a great affinity for Hezbollah and its leadership. Again, okay, if you like someone, that's not illegal, okay? I don't understand why everyone seems, oh, that's damning. No, it's not damning. You're not committing a crime. If you like the Hezbollah, it's not a crime to like the Hezbollah, okay? It's not. If you're a Nazi, it is not a crime to be a Nazi. This is part of freedom. Even though Steadman's evidence is circumstantial, his testimony comes as Congress is expected to consider new copyright legislation this year. An invocation of terrorism, the trump card of modern American politics, could ease the passage of the next major expansion of copyright powers. Steadman said he saw Hezbollah flags and photographs of the group's leader in the homes he raided, coupled with anti-Israel sentiments in the parts on part of those arrested. So, again, these are Americans who say they like the Hezbollah, and they're against Israel. How in the fuck does that affect America in any way? Why is it, you know, even if you hated Jews or you hated Muslims, that's not illegal. Okay, you have a right to hate who you want to hate. Okay, I don't agree with it, but you have the right to do it. Another witness, Chris Bruckner, the president of a private investigation firm that looks at intellectual property violations, said, "I'm also frequently asked if terrorist groups profit from the sale of counterfeit goods. I do not know the answer to that question." Buckner has, however, heard subjects make anti-Israeli and anti-Jewish statements on raids. Well, so what? What does that have to do whatsoever. How do you relate piracy with terrorism here? I don't see that. You know, kids downloading Star Wars are not terrorists. Sorry. The 9/11 Commission never managed to link Hezbollah to the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. Oh, that bears repeating. The 9/11 Commission, for what they were worth, even they couldn't even manage to link Hezbollah to September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. But the commission claimed that Iran and Hezbollah provided assistance to al-Qaeda on other occasions, including joint training exercises. Well, that just does it all right there, right? You know, obviously, all terrorists are pirates and vice versa. Jesus. In nuclear war news, Con Plan 8022. Now, we talked about this before. Last week, the Washington Post reported that this unintelligible nickname masks a military program whose implementation could drag the world into nuclear war. That's a cheerful title. Con Plan 8022 is a series of operational plans prepared by STARTCOM, the U.S. Army's Strategic Command, which calls for preemptive nuclear strikes against Iran and North Korea. One of the plan's major components is the use of nuclear weapons to destroy the underground facilities where North Korea and Iran are developing nuclear weapons. The standard ordnance deployment by the Americans is not capable of destroying these facilities. So what they're saying here is that, you know what, they got their bunkers too deep, so we're going to authorize pre-nuke strikes. Now, I covered this before, but I didn't know it was called Con Plan 8022. And they're going to be, you know, trying to make it seem a little bit more friendly to, you know, use nukes on whoever we want. Accordingly, America's deterrent credibility against rogue states would grow because it's clear the U.S. would allow itself to make use of these small bombs that would destroy the weapons sites but not cause the death of many civilians. Well, you know, they said there was WMDs in Iraq, didn't they? And they were so sure they killed a whole lot of Americans going to Iraq to get these WMDs. So all they got to do now is claim that some country's got WMDs, and they nuke them. You know, nuke them till they glow, shoot them in the dark. America, fuck yeah. In Plague Watch news, Chinese scientists announced on Wednesday they have developed two new vaccines capable of stopping the spread of the deadly H5N1 strain of bird flu to birds, mammals, and humans. Now, this is the H5N1. That's that bird strain. That's that flu that I've been talking about that's a little bit scary. And Anki was talking about. So apparently China has got the solution to this problem. They also said they're willing to provide details of epidemic prevention to other countries and regions and contribute to agriculture and public health security worldwide. Well, that's rather nice of them. Good piece of propaganda speech there. Chen Hulan, director of China National Bird Flu Reference Laboratory, based in Harbin, capital of Haliko-Jiangping province. Good luck. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. Said the two new vaccines, were developed in her lab and proved to be a success. We'll be checking your notes and numbers, but that's cool. If we've got a cure to H5N1, sounds good to me. She said they had passed a state-level appraisal and obtained a permit granted by the Ministry of Agriculture for sale on the market. I would like to check out what the side effects are. Experiments show the efficiency rate of the newly developed vaccines in preventing infection by the H5N1 virus is 100%, claimed Chen. In the meantime, China has developed three technologies in which less than 10 hours can confirm a bird flu's epidemic. In the past, it used to take 72 hours to get confirmation. So now they can find it quicker, a lot quicker, 1/7 the time, and they've got some kind of immunization against it. However, I'd want to do a lot of checking against that because, you know what, I don't really trust China's... I don't trust their policy regarding, you know, what's an acceptable level of risk for their people, just because I know their other policies, and it scares me a little bit. Now, in Clipper Chip news, check this out. This is trippy. Microsoft and the entertainment industry's holy grail of controlling copyright through the motherboard has moved a step closer with the Intel Corp, now embedding digital rights management within its latest dual-core processor, the Pentium D, accompanying the 945 chipset. Officially launched worldwide on May 26th, the new offerings come DRM-enabled and will, at least in theory, allow copyright holders to prevent unauthorized copying and distribution of copyrighted materials from their motherboard rather than through the operating system as currently used. AMD much? Yeah, thanks a lot. Excuse me while I just kind of ditch your Pentium D and go with another option because I'm not really interested in having to put up with that. Thank you very much. I don't understand why, you know, there's such this massive push towards this, because this is only going to hurt the entertainment industry. If you actually were successful in destroying pirated music, you would see such a loss in sales, it would be staggering. I like, use your head, okay? On to today's daily hacks. How to extract your own DNA. That's your first one. Although you may need the help of an adult, which I find hilarious in in telling people how to extract your own DNA. I highly advise getting the help of an adult or your wife. Build your own Skype phone. This is a better one. So the problem is you have a computer, your friend has a computer, and both of you have broadband connection. You want to make use of Skype, like voice, chat, and MSN or something like this. And you're sick and tired of sitting by the computer all the time when you talk. You might even sit with one of those ridiculous headsets. Yes, I also have one. On your head, just because the echo cancellation feature isn't that great in reality. So the solution, a year or so ago, I tried to connect with a professional headset from Plantronics to my computer just because they're so damn good and fit perfect. Well, I did get it to work after having a couple of boxes in between the computer and the headset, but I was still tied to the computer. Now, I've seen some other devices around that basically give you a headset that connects to USB port, and then you can use that. Well, you're still tied to the computer. No fun. Then I read in a local magazine, Veronica Magazine here in the Netherlands, about Simmons making a detect USB adapter so you can connect your DECT phone to the computer. And I thought, wow, that's what I need. Well, for 119 euros, I got another toy. Well, for 119 euros for another toy that I'll use, like, not that often, I don't think so. But I do have an old Simmons Gigaset 3010 phone lying around that my children play with, and I wonder if I can get that one to work on Skype. So we did. And this whole article here goes on explaining how to get a wireless phone to work with Skype. Very, very cool. Very low cost, and it's a great tool. And an interesting thing on this new sport, this parkour sport, which I don't know. The whole thing seems kind of like it's promoted very much by running shoe companies. But when I look at it as a form of fitness, it does look pretty cool. What is parkour? Parkour is not what you want it to be. It's a predefined thing. This is what it says on the website here. It's about moving through one's environment with focus on direct movement in the most efficient manner possible, both being swift and fluid. Imagine moving in an escape situation. The movements that would be useful are the movements which would be parkour. Embellishments and tricks are not part of it. So it's a function over form thing, and that's why I make it kind of a wog sport. There's nothing wrong with practicing tricks or embellishing your movements with unnecessary movements for style. That's just as respectable as valid thing. That is just as respectable and valid thing to do as anything else, but it doesn't fall under the parkour banner. So if that might be, it's urban running. So if you were like a parkour athlete, running from anyone would get a whole lot easier, I would think. So check that out. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis. They are Forley, Druid Y, Simaru, Tara, David, Jesse, Grey Goat, Drake, sorry, Tara, Death, Jesse, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Triad, Philip, Robert, Mainframe, Russell, Michael, Andrew, and user Christopher, Derek, Jesse, Joseph, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Matt, Steve, Brandon, Jesse, Peter, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Rosalie, Sergeant Tibbs, Evan, Matt, Austin, David, Adam, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Richard, Brandon, Noog, Jonathan, Philip, Jason, Art, Matt, Matt, Duel, Michael, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, and Brandon. News this month was Charles. Thanks, Charles, for showing up. And if you'd like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Special thanks to some hard netrunners, the Army of Flying Monkeys, who brought me this information. And you, Visage, Rebel Whore, Ripdrive, Psy, Pig Monkey, Hammer, The Boon, Wyandi, Deadco, Thunderspud, Mystic, and Nalos Thuris. Digital baptisms today? Creativite's box is now Junkie. Creativite's base is now Enoch. Upcoming events, make sure you check the page to get everything that could be coming down the pipe that is worth a damn. And thanks again for everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information, or any of their pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Devantage called Global Badlands. I'm going to leave you now with a track called Virus from Deltron 3030. Awesome, awesome album by Del the Funky Homo Sapien. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them. Crises precipitate change.
Secretly plotting your your demise. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus. I want to make a super virus strong enough to cause blackouts in every single metropolis. Cause they don't want to unify us. So fuck it, total anarchy and can't nobody stop us. You see, late in the evening, fucked up on my computer and my mind starts roaming. I create like a heathen. The first cycles of this virus I could send through a modem. Infiltration hits your station. No Microsoft or enhanced DOS will impede. Society thinks they're safe when bingo hard drive crashes from the rending. A lot of hackers tried viruses before. Vaporize your text like so much whiteout. I want it where file replication is a chore. Lights out, shut down entire White House. I don't want just a bug that could be corrected. I'm erecting immaculate design. Break the nation down section by section. Even to the greatest minds, it's impossible to find. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus.
I have already planned. The plan is programmed into every one of my 1,000 robots. We will not hesitate. We will destroy the Homo sapiens.
I wanna develop a super virus. Better by far than an old Y2K. This is 3030, the time of global unification. Break right through they terminals, burn them all. Slaves to silicon, corrupt politicians with leaders and their keywords. FBI and spies stealing bombs, precipitate their plans in their face and catch the fever. Everybody loot the stores, get your canned goods. Even space stations are having a hard time. Peacekeepers seek to take our manhood, which results in the form of global apartheid. Ghettos are trash dumps with gas pumps, exploded and burnt out since before the Great Union. The last punks walk around like mass monks, ready to manipulate the database or break through them. Human rights come in 100th place. Mass production has always been number one. New Earth has become a repugnant place, so it's time to spread the fear that's fun to some.
Too long have we tried to extend our glorious empire out to the stars.
Devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash the whole computer system and revert you to papyrus. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash the whole computer system and revert.